Before we even talk about North Carolina, I want to pick your brain about this potential Virginia-Michigan State matchup, because you and I are going to be fighting each other if these two teams make it to the Elite Eight.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm still trying to get my voice back from a great ACC tournament up here in D.C.
That was an amazing game, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. It was wonderful for the city, the economic impact, having UNC and Virginia in the finals. That brought out two very, very large fan bases right here in the capital city. So it was just wonderful. And now, you know, there were many people in the ACC who felt that the body of work of UNC, of Virginia, of Notre Dame, certainly were worthy of a number one pick. When UNC, you know, solidified everything and won the championship, that was the no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And so some people question, though, that UVA, with their body of work, and certainly how they've beaten Villanova, West Virginia, had some key wins, that they were still worthy. And, of course, as the bracketology was being displayed and up goes Virginia number one, then number two, Michigan State. But over the past 2 years, Michigan State has definitely been a thorn in the UVA program. I'm a firm believer that to be the best, you have to beat the best. And so I'm hopeful that both teams, Michigan State and Virginia, can make it to that final slot to fight for the Final Four. I think Tom Izzo, being that Hall of Fame coach that he is, will have his team ready. And I think Coach Bennett from Virginia has certainly, if they get that far, they are ready for this next step.
Well, I'm looking at that Midwest bracket, and I'm seeing a couple of good teams in there. Utah has been playing really well, obviously. Purdue's a good team. They gave Michigan State a really tough fight in the Big Ten final. Iowa State's good. Seton Hall made a nice run through their tournament. Gonzaga had a good run through the Big West, even though they're an 11 seed. But I would be really surprised if it weren't Virginia and Michigan State meeting for the third time in the Elite Eight.
Well, certainly March Madness, there will be the upsets. That's what makes it so compelling. But I think teams that emphasize defense and late-game execution will have an edge. And that's where Tony Bennett certainly has built a program now, and they focus on defense. I think they've learned over the past 2 years that you need a little bit more offense. And if Malcolm Brogdon keeps his legs, if London Perrantes keeps his legs, Anthony Gill, they should make a good run. Michigan State, being led by All-American Denzel Valentine, and certainly he always has a very strong 3-4, strong, very, very aggressive post players. And so I think they are tournament tested as well. But you can never, you know, you can never, never be surprised by these teams that get some momentum, and it just seems like they're destiny's darling. So, again, hopeful to see that Big Green and Virginia matchup, but we'll see.
And I was disappointed to see Michigan State get snubbed in favor of Oregon, but anyone who saw that final on Saturday and anyone who's been watching Virginia all year long, and really for the last couple of years, how good they've played, and especially this year, there's no denying that Virginia was deserving of a one seed. And obviously UNC as well, winning the ACC title with that great victory over Virginia on Saturday, not to mention the wins over Notre Dame and Pittsburgh to get there. Just a really impressive run a game. So what did we learn about Carolina during the ACC tournament, and how does this draw look? Because this is a really, really difficult draw for the Tar Heels.
Well, I think the biggest thing about UNC is that they're definitely playing as a team. Mm-hmm. All five starters average in double figures. They've always, Coach Roy Williams has built his program on transition offense, and that seems to be clicking as well. But the one mystery aspect of this team is that they really showed defense in that semifinal and final game at the tournament. Now, is this just something that they turned it up because of the rivalry, they had played the teams before, or is this the new Carolina? And if so, I don't see how anyone cannot pick North Carolina to be in the Final Four. I know Kentucky, they will be imposing, but they are very young, whereas North Carolina is a veteran team. I like the fact that Joel Berry is shooting very well, even in desperation, which a lot of his shots are coming about. It's a broken play, but Joel seems to be able to dial down and hit that shot. But I think a lot of people would think that North Carolina, if they continue this defensive play, that they will go very, very far. I think one concern is Marcus Berry. He had a good shooting night against Notre Dame in the semifinals, but in the Virginia game, he started to struggle again. Certainly, it was great that he started putting the ball on the floor and penetrated for some easier shots and some assists to his teammates. And maybe that's what Marcus will have to do, not be so happy to take that open, wide-open shot, but put the ball on the floor and maybe look for an easier shot or a pass. I think he was very, very effective in that regard.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Strom and UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, and I think you said it, Carolina just playing so well as a team right now. Congratulations, if you're just joining us, to Bryce Johnson, who got named as first-team All-American by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association. Obviously, he's had an amazing season, and his jersey's going to go up in the rafters along with Marcus Page's. But you look at that game against Virginia, Johnson wasn't the one who was scoring the points. He had close to a double-double, scored in double figures. Marcus Page was penetrating, getting some buckets for two, but missing all of his three-point shots. Joel Berry steps up and has a great game, and that's just been the way the Tar Heels have played for the better part of this season. And when they've been doing that effectively, it's really been difficult for any team to stop them.
That's right. And Bryce Johnson is the type of player where he doesn't necessarily have to have the double-double to be effective. Out of all the post players, he is the most consistent for North Carolina. And what he did against Virginia was help to contain, in particular, at the end of the ball game. He was able to contain Mike Toby, Anthony Gill, and certainly Isaiah Wilkins. And so Bryce does those types of things where he ends up with the last-second dunk shot, which helps to get the crowd inspired. He'll have a block shot or two. So Bryce just gives so much to the team that everyone knows that if Bryce weren't on the court, that North Carolina would not be a threat at all. And so I'm looking forward to Bryce going in to this March Madness, ready to show why he is an All-American. I think he will play within the system and not try to force shots, but he has definitely been the gem for UNC this entire season.
So taking a look at this draw, you mentioned Kentucky as the 4 seed, West Virginia as the 3 seed down at the bottom of the bracket, and I've got them going to the Elite Eight and playing Carolina there. Xavier, the number 2, not to be overlooked. And a couple of really tough teams a little bit further down, 5 seed Indiana, 6 seed Notre Dame. We know how good they're capable of being. Michigan is the 11 seed, has already shown an ability to beat some pretty good teams. They beat Indiana earlier this week. So who is your pick to meet Carolina in the Elite Eight, first of all, and who is your sleeper threat out of the East bracket?
Well, you know, when you think about this entire March Madness and how it can play out, it's very easy just to pick the top seeds, and some people do that, but most people say that 5-12, you know, that's always a difficult game for the lower seed, but I'm a big believer in UNC making it. But certainly Kentucky has to be a threat. I think Calipari has his young guns playing very well, and it's all about belief for them because the type of players that he recruits, they are big-game players. They can play. They're all five-star. They're usually one-and-done players. That is, they will leave after their first year of playing basketball in Kentucky. So it's a matter of having confidence, and that's what he'll try to instill in his players. I really like West Virginia. They have a very, very aggressive pressing defense, and if you don't have a strong backcourt, you could easily get thrown off course, so to speak, and get out of sync. It's the type of team where they really surprise you. You don't think they're that fast, but when you're out on the court, you see them at another level. Xavier has been a strong program over the years, but I would still take West Virginia coming out of that lower bracket for the East. I believe that Michigan, some people argue that they should not have even made the tournament, and I would have to agree. I don't think they're as strong. Their name on their chest, of course, will allow people to think about the good old days with Michigan and their power, but I don't think they're that team at this point. Indiana has a very strong point guard who's been able to carry them throughout the year, regular season Big Ten champions. But again, I would say they would end up playing Kentucky and Des Moines, and I would think that the Kentucky Nation, which is the number one traveling fan base, would help spurn Kentucky to that W. So again, I'll look at Kentucky coming out. I'll look at Xavier and West Virginia, but I think North Carolina will probably end up playing West Virginia, if not Xavier.
Turning to the other side of the bracket, Duke is a number 4 seed in the West with a possible matchup with Oregon in the Sweet 16 if they both get that far. Baylor, UNC Wilmington, the 13 seed, and Denzel Ingram plays for UNC Wilmington right out of Chapel Hill. I think
yeah.
so. Yeah.
And some people feel that Duke got another easy bracket, and I don't know if that's just to anybody but Duke crowd, but clearly I think they have a very tough run. Not necessarily because of the opponents, it's just that his bench is so short. Mm-hmm. Coach K has been just nothing short of amazing in his coaching ability this year. But to really get so far and have significant wins with 6-7 players, I just think that's just been remarkable. I think the ACC Wars will help them, but I definitely do not see them coming out of the West there with that short team. And again, he's tested. He knows how to get the best out of it, but we know that Duke often hits the big one, like last year where they won it all, and then they crash and burn years in between. So I do not expect Duke to go very far out west.
You mentioned Michigan as a team that shouldn't have made it to the tournament. Who is the biggest snub? I know everyone's talking about the mid-majors, Monmouth, St. Mary's, Valparaiso. None of them making it to the tournament. They're all going to be exciting in the NIT. But none of those mid-major teams making the NCAAs this year. Which of those would you have liked to see?
Well, being biased to King Rice and Monmouth, I thought they were certainly mm-hmm. deserving. What's difficult for those mid-majors teams is that due to scheduling, you only have a short opportunity or small opportunity to play the powerhouses. And you're doing that for visibility and to get your team ready, hopefully, for March Madness. So there are only a number of slots that you can secure. But when you get those slots and then you win, and then you win within your conference, and maybe you slip up and you don't win your final game in your tournament, that's a really, really tough loss. But it just shows that it continues the discussion that maybe that the March Madness should expand to more than 68 teams. Other people feel that maybe we should just cut it down to 32 and just really look at it for the Power Five conferences. But I really liked Monmouth. I thought they should have been given a shot.
All right, Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School, we got to let you go. But before we do, two more questions. First of all, what 11, 12, 13 seed do you have in your bracket going to the Sweet 16 or beyond? And who is your Final Four pick? You've mentioned UNC already. Who else?
Well, I would be very, very disappointed myself if I didn't pick Virginia and then ended up going to the Final Four. So I have to come out with Virginia and North Carolina. On the other side in the West, I don't believe Oregon is going to win that. I just don't think they played the powers in the Midwest and the East. They haven't had great wins coming out of there. I would not be surprised to see Oklahoma. They've got arguably the best player in the nation in Buddy Hield. I think that they really just got beaten down by some of those Big 12 teams, and that's why they ended up with some losses because the teams were just familiar with Oklahoma. But Oklahoma going to a neutral site, I don't know if there's a player in the country that can check Buddy Hield. So I believe that they will probably come out of the West. In terms of the South, you know, I'm a big believer of Bill Self and what he's done in Kansas. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing how they continue to win these conference championships. He's an outstanding bench coach, and so probably Kansas coming out of the South. But you always have those type of sleepers, teams that could come in and create the upset. You know, UNC Wilmington is number 13. There are some who say that they're going to actually steal one from Duke. I'm not sure on that one. I also like Gonzaga. I just like the way that team plays. They are considered a mid-major, but certainly over the past 7 to 10 years, they've proven that they're a big-time basketball powerhouse, and they are a number 11 seed out of the Midwest. But other than that, those are the teams that I would choose to kind of surprise us.
And then your national champion pick?
I would not be surprised if North Carolina did not bring down the Nets again.
All right.
I think that they could certainly beat Oklahoma. It's going to definitely take one of those defensive games that they played against Virginia to stop Buddy Hield and the other players on Oklahoma because they do have a number of top players. And I think Kansas versus North Carolina, that edge would go to North Carolina. I think the way North Carolina plays, they'll be ready for a Kansas-style basketball game. The wild card is, of course, Virginia and North Carolina again. Who would win that game? So whoever wins the East or the Midwest, I'm picking them as the national championship.
Sounds good. March Madness is upon us. Dr. Deb Stroman, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.